Let's bow our heads in prayer just a moment. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word, and we're asking that you, just by your spirit, would God, and what is said and done here, that be done as you desire it to be, God. Help us to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to turn over into 1 John, the second chapter. And I want to talk about a word this morning, and I'll just write it on the board. And the word is unction, and it's not a word we use a lot, and it's honestly not in the Bible a whole lot, but it has a very specific meaning. And so for this morning, in kind of a title, I want to go ahead and call it maybe the unction. All right. And the purpose of that is an unction is something that is very, it's a special endowment, is what this word means, a special endowment. In many cases, we may receive something from somebody, but we might also receive something for a specific purpose. And that's the emphasis this word has, is that you've not just received what you received, but you received it for a specific purpose, a special amount or quantity given for a special moment, purpose in your life, a special, and when I say purpose, not so much for a purpose for the rest of your life necessarily, but for the time you're going through in your life. There's times where we face things, somebody might come along and give us a little something to help through that specific time in some way. Well, that's kind of similar to what an unction is. And so I want to look here in 1 John, the second chapter, and the 20th verse. It says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." We're going to read some more here, but I want to kind of talk about this verse right here. It's saying basically that you have an unction, a special endowment of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. John's speaking to this group of people, and we know that God's people, we receive the Holy Spirit, but he's making a point that there's a time in your life, there's a moment here where you're receiving a special endowment. And so I want to think a little bit about this and ask you a question to just think about as we read, and we're going to read several other places in the Bible where people receive maybe some special endowments of the Holy Ghost for moments that they walk through. And this concept that this is part of who the Holy Ghost is for us is the burden this morning. That we get a hold of that, because the Holy Ghost is something we receive that can go with us for the rest of our life, can seal us. He does a lot of things. But there's part of what the Holy Ghost is that it comes in moments. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And by standard, that means a battle flag. It means this is the line. This is where you won't come past this point. So in other words, the Old Testament prophesied that one of the ways the Spirit would work in us is that it would be there in special moments in our life when we're facing harder times, to not just be necessarily what it's always been to us, but to be something more specifically for those times. And that's part of the burden this morning, we get a hold of that too, because the thing about the Holy Spirit is, and I believe the Word proves this out, I believe experience proves this out, it is not, well, there's a word, and I hope this is okay to use here. I think in the way I understand the word is, but it's not a show pony. It's not something that's given to just for no purpose, just to be entertainment. There's not anything of who the Holy Spirit is. When there's times where it enables us to do things, and it's enabled other people to do things, it wasn't for some dramatic show. It was because there was a purpose. There's a reason why it was necessary in those times to do something a little extra, a little different in people's lives. And so the point there is to recognize that, because there's a lot of deception in the world that wants to turn the Holy Spirit into an entertainment. And that's not what the Holy Spirit is. But also an encouragement that what the Holy Spirit is to me in my day-to-day life, he has the capability of, it's not even really stepping up his game, as we say sometimes, because it is who he is at all times, and his ability is there at all times, but he demonstrates it for a purpose in our life. When we're and the purpose is, hey, you're facing a time where you need it. The situation demands it. It's here. It's here for you to enable you to be what God needs you to be in this time, what he sees you need to be in this time. And so, as we ask this question, is it about quality or show or any of that, or is it a purpose? That's what I want us to really get in our hearts today, to understand the ability he has to do that, and that is for a purpose. It's not for a show. All right? So it says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. So there seems to be a special endowment here of knowledge, maybe, to these people, is what I'm saying, just in this verse. You know all things. Well, what is he talking about and what's going on? Why is there a purpose to this? Is there a reason why this group of people that he's writing to got this special endowment of the Holy Spirit for this time? And so let's read on and let's see what he's talking about here. Honestly, you can read this whole verse and this whole chapter, and you can see real quickly issues that John's dealing with and why it might be necessary for us, a group of people. The gospel, this is John. We're still in the new, fresh stages of this. And why there might be a necessity in this place to give a special knowledge, a special confidence in understanding to this group of people and for what they were facing. So he says, I'm not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. There's importance here that we get a hold of that. And I'm saying John's talking to them, that you understand that they don't mix. The truth is important. It's important to state it clearly, to understand it, to realize that it can't mix with things that are not true and have success in our life. There's got to be a distinction there. It's necessary, we might say, for your survival as a Christian, as a soul. It's necessary to recognize that distinction and not be deceived. It says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So there's something he's dealing with here where people were trying to continue to promote God, in other words, salvation, but denying Christ. And John's saying to him, you've got to be able to recognize the difference between this and not be deceived, because you're facing it. You're in the midst of the people who are trying to deceive you. There's a force going on around you that's pushing to cloud your mind and cloud your understanding. All right? So then he says, let that therefore, here's the answer. You're in the middle of this. This is what's going on in your life. This is what you're facing. This is the struggle you're having. This is why you need a special endowment of the Holy Spirit in this particular manner for this time in your life. So here's what you do. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. You see, there was something going on here. There was a force trying to seduce them away from the knowledge of the gospel. Because if it did, and they didn't continue in the things which they had heard from the beginning, if there was ability to damage that or cloud that, then this people could be lost. They could stumble. They could fall. But he said in the 27th verse, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. The Holy Spirit is with you, and he is able to meet this task that's in front of you in your life. And ye need not that any man teach you. I wonder, I could almost see this being a group of people that some of the danger, and as we look back in front of them, we see several, Peter dealt with this some too, I believe, Jude dealt with it, that there were people who promoted themselves as teachers and tried to maybe take over and move in and begin to teach things that weren't right. And you had a group of people who were looking for somebody maybe to teach them. But the ones who were trying to step into those places were a danger to their souls. And so John's saying, look, you've got what you need. Listen, believe, follow the Spirit. Let him guide you in the light, because he is with you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth. Be reassured in your mind the things the Lord is witnessing to you, and he's demonstrating, he's giving you this special endowment to get you firm and solid in the midst of the trial you're going through so that you be not deceived. Be assured that you can trust that this morning. And it will teach you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And I think of the Galatians here, where Paul came back to him and said, what's going on here? You began in the Spirit, and now you're being swayed by these people who have come in and taught things that don't line up with what the Spirit has been teaching you, where it's been leading you. And another place in Romans, he said, to have not the law, do witness the righteousness of law simply because of the Spirit that's in them, that they're giving themselves to. Follow it. It will keep you through this time. And so I see there was a need. There was a need for this group of people, from what John's saying, to have a special confidence in that Holy Spirit and for it to be there and work magnificently in this manner in their life so they can have a special endowment to face what they were facing. And so I want us to get a hold of that, that the Lord had a special endowment for them. It met the need of their time, and it wasn't for show. The purpose was to keep them on the path with Jesus. You know, when people try to sway you from what the Holy Spirit is and mention all these signs and wonders, you know, the wonder of the Holy Spirit is that it's able to seal us and keep us. That is its goal. That is its focus. That's why it comes along sometimes and does mighty things, miraculous things. But yet is always with us, even in when it's not those kind of times. It still walks with us to keep us. At all times, its purpose is to help us not be swayed, not be deceived, to follow the Lord the way he has called us to follow him. And is able to work in all situations. And Acts, the second chapter, is probably one of the more, I don't know. When you start thinking about who the Holy Spirit is and the recordings we have, this is one of the times where there was a mighty demonstration of the Holy Spirit power and what it was able to do. Let's look in Acts, the second chapter, and the first verse, and we'll see what happened here. It said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind. Now what this means is there was a sound from heaven of rushing mighty wind. This is what happened. This is an account of the physical nature of what happened there when the Holy Spirit came. I've never experienced this in my entire life, and I don't know anybody else who has. And we've talked a little bit about why. But we won't go all back into that, but this time coincides exactly from the time that Jesus was here and left and all. That space of time is exactly the same as the space of time for when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And they were at Mount Sinai, where something happened that never happened again in that dispensation. All right. So we've got a miraculous occurrence here physically. This is happening. Came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each one of them. This has never happened to me, and I don't know anybody else in the history of the New Testament this has ever happened again.
True.
Again, if the Lord was worried about trying to be some kind of entertainment, would he not do this more often? But if it was about a purpose, and the purpose was fulfilled, then why is it necessary that this would ever happen again?
True.
Okay? So this is what happened here. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here we have something that happened. But let's think about why did it happen. Was it just an entertainment? No, it was not. There was a purpose. So let's look on down to the verses below this and read them. It says, there were dwelling at Jerusalem, which is where they were, Jews, devout men. So there's men in this place who were serious about serving God.
Yes.
All right. They weren't a part of this group, but they were in the city all around them. OK, at this time, out of every nation under heaven. So there were Jews, devout men who had come from, well, China. I don't know. Far reaches of Europe, Germany. Of course, this was what countries were called back then, but I'm just throwing out names of places we recognize today. And so there's some obvious things here as we think about that. And one of those obvious things is if someone comes in here today and starts speaking Spanish, let me let you know how much I'm going to understand of what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about this much.
Yeah.
There are certain words that I could grab in the middle of a sentence and say, hey, I recognize that word. But I would not be able to make sense of what they were saying. Somebody came in here and began speaking German today. Even less. There'd be even less that I could recognize. And you can think in your own minds. This isn't just about me. It's about all of us. Just consider for a moment. Somebody came in here speaking Tagalog, native language of the Philippines. There are little things I can understand, but to understand the point of what they're saying, I would miss it. There's a mighty occurrence happening here. God is setting something up. There is a purpose, and he wants it heard clearly, and he wants them to see that something has happened here. There is definite power behind this, all right? And so it says there was these devout men, Jerusalem Jews, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. Look, something's happened. It's never happened before. Let's go see what this is about. You know, I remember y'all know the story of me putting the driver bit through my finger, right? And pretty much everybody knows that happened and has probably seen the pictures because I showed them. But I put a driver bit through my finger. And I've expressed to most of you, but just in case someone hasn't heard this, when I went into, I don't know why that happened. I mean, it happened partly because I think God was able to use my ignorance a little bit. But there was a purpose. I was suddenly had a driver bit through my finger. It never hurt one time. Not at all. I even checked myself for sensation. I thought maybe something was wrong with my finger, but it never hurt. And I could feel touching my finger. And so I went, drove me to the emergency room. I walk in the emergency room and I sit down in there and probably went, I don't know. It wasn't very long. And suddenly the little triage room was full of people coming to see this guy who has a driver bit. We've never seen this before. This has never happened. I've talked to people who've done it. Like, we don't know how you did that. We really don't know how you just stuck it clean through your finger and it stuck there. There's no understanding. But suddenly I had an audience. And I don't know what God was trying to do, but I feel like God was saying, remind them, you know, of who I am. Just take your opportunity here. You're not going to get to preach some message or something, but there's a chance to just speak my name and just give me glory for what's happening in your life. And a little bit of that was like, I really don't know why I'm not hurting, but I'm going to just, I can't remember my exact words, but basically God, you know, it's really God. I mean, that's the only thing I can tell you right now. And that was all really I got to say. But it was an opportunity, and it happened because something happened that they'd never seen before, and they flocked to it. And that's kind of what happened here. Guys, something has happened. This has never happened before. Let's go see. Ah, now all these devout men have been pulled into this place where they can hear these people speaking. And it says, as they all came together, they were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. This is amazing. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? But how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia, Pamphylia in Egypt, in parts of Libya and around Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, do you think this was a show? This was just entertainment? Or did God have a purpose that he was establishing? That he was causing his word to spread the way he saw he desired it to spread. And so he set the whole thing up, and there was a special endowment of the Holy Spirit given in a way that wasn't the way it always comes to us. In fact, it's never come this way again. There's no recording of it ever happening like this again. But there was a need. There was a purpose. There was a moment in time in the history of the gospel where this was necessary. And so God caused it to happen. But also, this is what the Holy Spirit is able to do.
Amen.
In our lives. What are you facing? What are you going through? Do you know the Holy Spirit has an unction for you? And this, we draw back so many times like, well, you know, I've been walking with the Holy Spirit, but now this is different and I'm just a little afraid of it. The Holy Spirit has an unction. Well, first, don't I need to be able to do this and this and this and this? And we're going to touch on some verses about that later. No, you need to walk with the Spirit and trust him that if there's a need for a special endowment, whatever it is, he is able to do it. And I could come up with any scenario you want to imagine. And the Holy Spirit is able to give the special endowment you need for that moment to be his witness. And that his light would shine through your life in whatever way God desires it to. And as we said in Sunday school, light would overcome darkness. That is what happens. Darkness does not overwhelm light. The Lord is able, and his Holy Spirit is able. You know, there's another story we have. I'm thinking about Stephen. And Stephen's story is quite a bit of verses, but I want to just focus in on, let's see, 7th chapter. We'll look at the 54th verse. Now, Stephen, if you read his life, he was a man of wisdom. The Holy Spirit put it in him. It just seems like he had a special place to speak. And was one who they had a hard time. It really seemed similar to so many times where we saw Christ and they tried to trap him. And they said, well, he ended up just making them look foolish, so to speak. And it says some of that about Stephen, how they were not able to basically make him be quiet. I mean, they couldn't defeat his speech. And so finally, they draw him for this trial. And it's a mockery of a trial. But we're going through it. We get down to the 54th verse. Stephen has been speaking all through here. And he comes down and he finally tells them, 51st verse, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them which shewed before of the coming of the just one, and whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Stephen is one man. And can you imagine what it took in this moment? It took a special endowment of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It took Stephen, what could he have said? What could he have done? But the Spirit spoke through him. And as they ran and gnashed on him with their teeth, he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. You know, I wonder why the Lord allowed Stephen to see this. And maybe Stephen needed to see it to go on through with what he finished up with. The Lord knows what you need. His Holy Spirit can cause whatever is necessary in your life. And it says, as he looked up, he saw that, he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with loud voice and stopped their ears and ran unto him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And it says, as they stoned Stephen, his last words were. Lord, lay not the sin to their charge. That took a special endowment of the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't know how many times I've thought about the martyrs and thought, could I really do that? And I've come to a place through reading and through this message today is reaffirming this in my heart. You know what? I need to follow the Lord. I need to be faithful. If that's my call, if I'm following Jesus, His Spirit is able to give me what's necessary. Because all the things Stephen might have been, it took something more than what he had to be able to let his last words be, Father, forgive them. Well, what's the purpose? What was accomplished here? Why did God allow this to happen to Stephen? Why did he give him a special endowment of the Spirit to be able to make it through this time and this be what his witness was in the last time? Let's back up to the 58th verse. It says, they cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Guys, we just don't know what God is doing.
True.
Lord, help us to trust Him, to realize He has what we need. I can't hardly believe, but if this was what the purpose was, the Lord said, Stephen, I'm not saying he came down and told Stephen this, but I can just see the thinking of the Lord, this is going to be a witness. It's going to be something in Saul's life. He's not going to be able to, all the other things he can push aside, he's not going to be able to push aside this moment where he saw this man and heard those words at the very end. And we know that there was something that rode Saul, because when the Lord finally got a hold of him, it's in Acts 9, I won't turn there, but you remember what he said. The Lord said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. You saw that man that was testifying to me and spoke my words in front of you. You saw him die. You saw him say he saw the heavens open up and then he died. And his last words, you heard him. Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Who are you, Lord Jesus? Who are you? Finally surrendering to the Lord who was calling after him. Can we see the purpose?
Yes.
Can we take heart this morning in our lives and not be discouraged, not be afraid? Just walk with the Lord today. You don't have to worry about the future. Mm-hmm. Whatever may come, the Lord will give you in those moments. If you'll just follow Him faithful day, learn to listen to Him. Learn to seek the Lord to know better how to hear Him speaking to you from His Word and guiding your heart and nudging you through the day. And if something great and big is to happen in your future, and the Lord's got the endowment you need. He's got the unction you need for that moment. And you can put that in the Lord's hand and trust Him and just follow Him day by day. You know, Mark 13, I actually wrote down several here, but I don't know that we'll read through all of them. But I want to read this one in Mark 13 here. All right.
Mark 13.
And let's just pick up in the ninth verse. It says, take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And this is the Lord speaking to his disciples very specifically. But there's a message here for all of us. It says, the gospel must first be published among all nations. And in the 11th verse, it says, and when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall say, neither do ye premeditate. For whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. This is my verse that says, Lord, I can leave it all with you. I can just follow you day by day with each passing moment. I can just look to you and I can follow you. And I can know that if there's a time coming in my future where I'm going to face something that's bigger than what I feel like I am, truthfully it is, that could make me draw back in fear, It's something I can commit to your hands.
Amen.
I can put it completely with you and know, Lord, if I walk with you day by day, that when it comes to those moments, if I'll just trust you, if I'll put my faith in you, your Holy Spirit can enable me to do things. It's already enabled me to do things I can't do. But it can meet those big, huge tests in my life, whatever they may be, and enable me to have what I need in those moments, to face them, and to be a light that helps me not fall back. Yeah, absolutely. But remember Saul. Remember all that Stephen went through and what God allowed to happen and how he enabled Stephen to suffer that and go through there. And you got to know that's something that stuck with Saul. And we know what happened then in Saul's life. We know all that he reached out to. Lord, help us. We can trust him in faith in, and have faith in him. You know, I encourage you. I almost want to walk through all these verses and share them with you, but I'm not going to do that right now in this moment. But the things that the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit can do for us. Romans 8, chapter 26 says it's a help. But let's read some of them, y'all. We'll just read through them now. I wasn't anticipating this part of the message, but let's go ahead and do it. It says, Romans 8 and 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he's able to go, I can't even express what's on my heart. The Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit can share exactly what's needed, that God can give me exactly what I need in my life. Romans 15 and 30. All right. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. You know, I'm like, Lord, I want to share in the burden. I want to care. You know what? The Holy Spirit can make you care. It's got love that we don't have. If we let it work in our life, it can meet any situations come. Places where I don't think I probably have enough love to face that situation. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of love on Stephen's part. I mean, that's all I got to say about that. But situations like that in our life, the Holy Spirit's able to enable us to love in the way that we should. All right? 1 Corinthians 2, the 10th verse says, it's 9th verse says, but it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Holy Spirit is able to help me. What is the wisdom I need? And when I say wisdom, y'all, that seems like such an antiquated word sometimes, and we don't value it the way we should. I want to know why this is happening. If I'm at work and something starts happening and people are doing things a certain way, I'm like, well, look, it's one thing, you know, what I think about this, but I want to know why this is happening. I want to know why this is going on. If I'm all of a sudden called to go do a certain thing, I'll say, well, I want to go do it, but I want to know why. Do you know that the Lord has the knowledge we need? And I think about how many times that he gave them just, like, they may have had a question and they wanted to know a certain thing, but he's like, here's what you need to know. This is what will get you through the next moment. Nicodemus is a great story about that. God just giving him, look, I know what you're asking, but here's what you just need. And who was there at the end when Christ died on the cross? Do you remember one of the people who was there caring about him? Nicodemus. You remember a story about that?
Yes.
All right. So, the Lord is able to give us that, to, point being there, that he gave Nicodemus enough knowledge and what he needed in the moment, that's exactly part of what carried him through to that moment. All right. 1 Corinthians Corinthians, the 12th chapter, talks about gifts and how those gifts are given by the Holy Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians, the 1st chapter. The 1st chapter in the 22nd verse says, 21st verse. Now he who established us with you is in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You know, the earnest of the Spirit, that's the reassurance. That's the promise. God's given us all these promises. You know, the Holy Spirit witnesses to me the assurance of those promises in my life.
Yes.
How does he do that? Not just, if people say, well, you just follow in blind faith. Well, faith is necessary. I'm not going to deny that. But the things the Holy Spirit does in my life proves, and the way he comes, and the more I experience him, I begin to realize that he's true. And by that, he brings the reassurance of the things God has promised to me in my life. He encouraged me. He is the earnest of the inheritance. It's when there was an inheritance, that the earnest is kind of like the this is your assurance that you're going to receive that. And so the Holy Spirit is a reassurance to us, able to be that to us. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 17th verse, it says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We hear these sayings, break every chain, all these things. I might be bound physically, but there is a liberty in the Holy Spirit of God that can truly set me free. I think about Paul and Silas, and they did get set free. And so that happened. But that's not what I want to point you to. I want you to see what happened before they were set free. What happened before Paul and Silas were set free and the bars of the jail opened? Somebody want to share that? Yeah, I remember. They sang praises, right?
Yeah.
Looks like freedom to me. Hey, yeah, I mean, physically I got these chains on me, but you know what? This hasn't bound me in any way. They didn't look like they were bound down or depressed or discouraged. How many people walk free through life and never put on chains, never were stuck behind jail bars like Paul and Silas were? But they don't have that freedom in their life. The Holy Spirit gives me a liberty that this world can't steal from me. A liberty of joy, a liberty of peace, a liberty of assurance, of rest in my heart, my soul, no matter what my external environment is. The Holy Spirit has a liberty for me that doesn't ignore what's around me. You want proof? What happened when the jail bars were opened? Did they run to try to preserve this liberty they had? Was it all a show? They stayed right where they were and said, no, wait, we're all here. We haven't gone anywhere. We're still here. We're not going to leave because our liberty doesn't depend on it. It doesn't depend on, we're not trying to defend something. We're here for the Lord. And right then, about that time, you know, the jailer got saved. That's what God was doing in that moment. Again, a purpose, a special endowment. Things that happen for a purpose. All right? In Ephesians, we'll read this one and then we'll come to a close here. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and the 18th verse. It's hard to reach this passage and not start back at the beginning, but I knew something went quite right there. I'm sorry, I was in the wrong chapter. All right. It says, for through him we both have access. And this is speaking of, basically, he's saying the entire world, because he's speaking of Jews and Gentiles. It was the only division that God ever really made, specifically. All right? He says, by him, through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You have access to the Father right now. I think about Stephen and how he saw. He saw the heavens were open to him. You know what? I don't know anybody else that ever happened to in life, but if it's necessary for you to make it, God's able to do that again in your life. But here's the point. Anything between here and there, it's unique. Any type of access you need to the Father, it's granted to you through the Holy Spirit. He is the one that gives us access to the Lord that, through Jesus Christ by the Spirit. We have access to the Father. So all of that could do with more. This message could go on a long time. I guess I'll say it that way. But I want us encouraged this morning, because there's a lot more verses that talk about what the Holy Spirit does for us in life. Okay? But the main point is that He's not a show pony. He's not for entertainment. Don't let the world deceive you. That's not the Holy Spirit. By mighty works and wonders, that's not the Holy Spirit. We have that going on around us, y'all. You're not present. Just rest assured that's being promoted as the Spirit of God. But He is able to do whatever is necessary in your life for the purpose of His kingdom. That involves you making it home and souls around you seeing a witness of who God truly is. The Lord will do whatever is necessary. Put it all in His hands and just follow Him day by day. You pray for me.